Welcome to Hope Grown Faith, where we are equipped and encouraged to disciple our kids at home. And I'm so excited to welcome my longtime friend, Tara Cole, here with us today. Some of you might recognize Tara Cole. She's been around for a while. And Tara is really good at friendship and something that she likes to talk about, something that she lives out in real life. And she's even really good at it digitally, which is hard to do. So when I thought we would need to talk about friendship, the first person I thought of was, oh, we need to talk to Tara. So thank you so much for being here with us, Tara.
Thank you for having me, Christy. I'm Tara L. Cole. I am a mom, wife of almost 25 years, and I have three kids that are pretty much exactly the same ages as Christy's three boys. 15, 14, and 11. And so we're in the middle and in the thick of it. I do have boys. I don't have girls, but I definitely remember growing up as a girl with friendships. And of course, women still struggle with them even as adults. And then I also teach at a state university here in Oklahoma. And I am an author like Christy is and all the things.
I know there's so many similar things about us.
Yes.
And I'm glad that we've gotten to meet in person a couple times.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about friendships. We're going to focus mainly on adult friendships because I feel like as moms, when we're busy and working, that really just falls to the wayside. But we're also going to talk some about kid friendships too, because that is something that Tara talks about in Everyday Prayers for the School Year. That was one of the focuses. And I really appreciated that in your books. Okay. Hopefully this is not too hard of a question. What is one of the easiest friendships you've ever made?
Two friendships came to mind. And they were actually all the answers here were because I joined something, I stepped out of my comfort zone. So the first one was in college where I showed up for a tryouts for a drama, children's drama troupe. At my university, we called them the Pied Pipers, and they went around and traveled and did skits for kids. I had wanted to be one since I was 7, and I saw them for the first time. And so I showed up for tryouts. There was this girl there, and we clicked immediately. And we've been friends ever since. I don't often talk to her because even then she was horrible at keeping up with friendships at home, and she still is not great. But at keeping up with friendships. But when I see her in person, because she lives in West Virginia, I'm in Oklahoma, it's like no time has passed at all. Mm-hmm. But we were best friends all throughout college and did all kinds of stuff together. But it just clicked. We started talking like you and I. We had a lot of things in common, and it just worked out. Other one is, is 14, so be about actually 14 years ago now, because I met her in November, of 2011, right after we moved to Hawaii for my husband's job. And we were only going to be there a short time, but we had joined a church there, and it was a very Hawaiian church. It's very different from Anglo churches, but they were having a meeting at a park for some moms. I knew nobody, so I just said yes and showed up. And Crystal, it was like an Anne and Diane connection. That's the only way I can describe it. We only saw each other for 3.5 months in person. Since then, we have lived around the world from each other. She is usually in Japan, and I moved back here to Oklahoma. But even now, it's still like an Anne and Diane friendship whenever we get a chance to talk. And actually, this question prompted me to say, hey, I talk to Christy on Voxer all the time. Why don't we see if you can use Voxer in Japan?
Of course you can. That's great.
After seeing these questions, I totally messaged her and to see if she could connect that way, because we've been using Facebook Messenger and that's not great. But yes, and she and I joke about all the time how we're never going to live anywhere near each other on planet Earth, but we will have mansions in heaven right next to each other.
I love that. So what do you think made it so easy to connect with those two?
That I would just say is a God thing. Those kinds of friendships where you just make that connection. Because Crystal and I actually have very little in common. She's half Okinawan. Her husband is with the Department of Defense. She also, our two oldest sons are the same age. But beyond that, we had very little in common. It was just a spirit connection is the best I can explain it. Katie and I had a ton of stuff in common, so we could really relate to each other. But in both instances, it took me getting out of my comfort zone. I was in a brand new place in both situations, and I just stepped out of my comfort zone and said yes to showing up, and then God worked out the details in those situations. I have moved a lot in my lifetime and been new countless times. And that is not always the case. But in those two instances, that was the case.
That's true. I had forgotten, although I knew this, that you had moved a lot. So friendship has not, you probably had to learn how to make friends fast too, right? With just 3.5 months.
I grew up, by the time I was 20, I had lived in 20 different houses, 6 states and 12 cities. Wow. So I haven't moved as much as an adult, but I've lived in 3 states as an adult. So
it's still connecting seems to be comes so much easier to you than it does to say me, even though I live pretty much in the same place my whole life.
So these have been hard won lessons because I was not the popular girl who made all the friends.
Well, that's the kind of person we like. You're the kind of person we need to learn from, right? Not the people who are just like, "Woo, everywhere they go, they're the popular person," right? Yeah. But the person who's had to work at it and has found those beautiful connections. Another thing I thought was really important is that now that we have the digital age, real friendships can be had online. Like you and I were friends long before we actually met in person. And I've met a few people like that where I actually felt like I actually am friends with you.
Yes.
Like even though we never met in person, it's kind of this new weird thing.
It was. I was trying to remember how long we've been friends, but it's 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
Again, that was stepping out because I think I saw you and Brooke McLaughlin's, I don't know if she's Million Praying Moms In, but Everyday Pray.
The
Praying for Boy Mom. Mom whatever one. It was. The Mob Society. I saw you in that and I realized that you do on the child side what I was doing on the adult side. And I think I just shot you an email saying, hey, we do work similar together. Maybe we should work together sometime or something like that. And so you said, sure. And so I think we just started talking on Voxer or something.
Yeah. And, again, that's you just doing something that might have felt a little bit uncomfortable, right?
So I was kind of scared. And you were not the first person I reached out to that way. I mean, that exact way was, but you weren't the first writer I had met online. But again, it takes several times. I mean, sometimes friendships just don't pan out. Yeah. But again, you and I have a ton of stuff in common. So we really clicked.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go the opposite end now. What's one of the hardest friendships you've ever made?
Now, this one, I also reached out to someone after this question, is I am an introvert extrovert. So I can play an extrovert very well on TV, but I fill up introverted. But when I see a quiet person who just, not that they're being unfriendly, but they're just a huge introvert and don't want to talk, I see that as a challenge. And so I will just ask you questions when I see you, not to be pestering, but just connect with you and ask you questions and stuff because I can't stand for somebody to be alone. I've been alone so often in my life that seeing somebody over there by themselves just drives me crazy. So this friend, she actually took 5 years of me pursuing her as a friend and just asking her questions because she is very, very introverted. But when we started going to lunch together after me asking her questions and for 5 years, she said, I really want us to be friends. She really appreciated that I would not let her stay by herself. I wasn't pushy or anything. It'd just be a question here, a question there, because she has boys that are older than mine by about 5 to 10 years. So that was another reason, because like your boys act really good in church and mine are getting spanked. So how are you doing this? Because I met her. Oh, goodness. My kids were in elementary school or younger when I first met her. So after this, I realized that our church that we're currently going to is so huge, you don't see everybody all the time. And so I just texted her and said, hey, I'm missing you. Let's do lunch sometime. So now we have lunch that for a couple of weeks because I hadn't seen her in months. But that was one of the hardest. I really had to be intentional, but I'm enough of an extrovert that I kind of make it a game whenever someone insists on being a wallflower and won't talk to me.
I have done the same thing, actually, and found some beautiful friendships that way. My next question is going to be, what tips do you have for moms who want to grow friendships but always seem to find themselves on the edge of the group? And I feel like, based on what you've already said, it's going to be getting out of your comfort zone and asking questions, which is actually something that I find really helpful, too. But what else would you add to that?
Yes, those would be my first two, because I would say 90% of the people in this world are not like you and I and make it a game to get quiet people to talk. Almost nobody's like that. So if you're wanting somebody to connect with and you're expecting them to walk over to your corner, that probably isn't going to happen. Yeah. For me, it happens when I show up at church or at school. But more than that, it happens when I volunteer for stuff or show up for those Mother's Day out groups like I did with when we moved to Hawaii briefly. and I met Crystal, or I am helping a friend with a Bible class at church. That's a reoccurring Bible class. And so I'm meeting friends that way. Or we have what we call heartfelt groups, but it's this mom mentoring group. Some of my closest friends at church come from that group. So it's not just going to church or showing up at my kids' school, because I'm so busy as a teacher and as an author, I honestly almost never volunteer at my kids' schools, unless it's to show up for a party. So I really don't have a ton of close friends at my kids' schools. I have a few who I have met when I did show up for parties. And since our kids became friends, like, I made myself reach out to those parents, because if my kid's becoming your kid's friend, I want to know who they're hanging out with, so especially when they're little. Now that they're older, I don't pursue that as purpose as much, but I still am aware of who their parents are and try to make some connections. But one of my good friends now, she was somebody I met at a party at school who our boys had already been friends for a couple years because they kept showing up in the same classes, which our school district is so huge. Like, there was 2,000 kids at their elementary school. So that was a rare occurrence. Yeah, it was the biggest elementary school in Oklahoma. But since they kept connecting, then when I saw her at the party, I just reached out. And then eventually, it's really cool because eventually our boys kept getting together for things because we had connected. And then you always hear that if you act like a Christian, sometimes people see that in you and want and ask who it's about. She actually did. When Luke was at church camp and he couldn't go meet with his friend because he was at church camp during that week, she said, "Hey, what church do you go to?" And they've been coming to church for like the last almost 6 months now, since then. And so we become even better friends since they've been coming to church. But again, stepping out is huge. I kind of always have some questions in my back pocket, so I don't pick up questions on the spot. But like, easy ones are like, where are you from? Because at least in our neck of the woods, people move in and out a lot. What do you like to do is a good one. Your ages of your kids, of course, is easy. Where we're at, there are a ton of different schooling choices. So asking where your kids go to school is always a good one, or what activities they're involved in. I'm also, if they'll say, "Oh, my kid does this," and then I'll almost always follow up, listen, and then, "Oh, well, my kid does this," and kind of replicate back and forth. People don't always ask follow-up questions, but that's okay. I'm a talker enough that I can fill in the blanks. But keeping questions in your back pocket and actually listening to their responses and then replying in kind is a good way to start a conversation.
So we're talking about conversational skills here, which are really helpful.
I'm a communications professor. So yes, conversational skills. I know it is hard. It is so hard when you're standing around talking to new moms and you're tired and you're like, "I really don't feel like walking up to anybody right now." But if you want to make friends, you have to reach out and do it.
That's right.
Honestly, there are times when I don't feel like it. My kids are involved in band. They are so busy with it. Most time, by the time band night runs around, I don't feel like reaching out and making new friends. But I am also very content to sit by myself and not feel lonely or like everybody's ignoring me. Like, it's my choice to be here, not reaching out. And I'm okay with that, if that's the way I feel that particular night.
That's a good point, too. Okay, so you've talked about joining things as well, or just showing up to stuff, volunteering. So let's say, though, that you don't really have time for stuff like that. Maybe you have multiple kids, or maybe you have a kid with special needs and you just can't join stuff because it's just not that easy. So
that's where, because it's good to, if you have groups online that you're part of, because most all of us do social media on some level, to use apps like Voxer to connect with people on Facebook or Instagram that you see. Like I said, Chrissy had shared some stuff in the group I was in, and I really liked what she shared. And so I just reached out to her, probably via private message, first of all. I didn't have your email. And so just to message somebody and say, "Hey, I noticed," and then start a conversation. They don't always pan out. Like, I've asked, I think I said, told you, "Hey, we have stuff in common. Do you want to talk sometime?" or something like that. Mm-hmm. I asked somebody in town here that about our dogs, because she has the same type of dogs I have. I can tell she's dog crazy. I am. That never came to anything. So they won't all come to something, and you need to not get upset about that. Mm-hmm. But just if you see someone in a group you're in that you had some kind of connection, reach out to them on purpose, even electronically, can be a good way. And Voxer is probably my number one favorite app for keeping track because, and I mentioned it, because you can text, but also you can leave a voice message up to 15 minutes long. And so you can make really good connections just talking when you or the other person have time. It's not a phone call where you both have to be available. Mm-hmm. Christy and I are even on the same time zone. And she's homeschooled. I have public school kids. So we're almost never on Voxer at the same time. But we can continue the conversation as we're able. And it really works. I also make it a point. I'm not sure where I got this idea. But with some friends in person and then with Christy and another friend, writer friend in Florida, I just text them every Sunday morning and say, hey, how can I pray for you this week? And that surprisingly makes really deep connections that continue.
That's true.
Just with that one question is I'm friends with them. I think I can't remember if I asked you permission to do it, but usually I say, hey, do you mind if I ask you for prayer requests once a week? Again, sometimes that works. I've had groups that worked really well with. I've had others that flopped with and I just let it go. The key to that, though, is because I feel like a lot of women, when something doesn't work out, they really take it personally and really get hurt and it breaks your heart. Mm. So my kind of key verse for friendships is not going to sound like a friendship verse, but it's the more I study friendships, the more I learn about it. This has been my token verse for friendships. It's Mark 12:30-31, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the key there is that your connection with God is strong enough by loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength that you know who you are. You have confidence in the God you serve. And then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you're confident in who you are as God's child and your identity and what those other people may say or do does not affect your world because you're confident in who you are. If you're in a place where you struggle with that, two books that really helped me was one called Boundaries. And there's like Boundaries in Marriage. There probably is a Boundaries in Friendship. But the main Boundaries book helped a lot because I really stunk at having good boundaries in friendships. Like people could railroad me in my early 20s. And use up all the things. But having safe boundaries, not saying I won't do that, but just healthy boundaries. And then the search for significance was monumental in me realizing who I really am as God's child and my identity in Christ. But those things helped me be okay with sitting alone at a band parent meeting and not feeling sorry for myself. Or when somebody doesn't answer me back or respond in kind, I don't take it personally. So that's a place that takes growth to come to. You're not going to come to that spot overnight, but it really helps in making friends because you're not desperate for them to fill up a hole in you because God's already filling that hole. You just want community, but you're not desperate for that friendship, expecting something from it that only God can give. And so,
yeah, and I feel like women are good at smelling a desperate person and being like, whoa, I don't really want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to take a lot of work.
It's really true. But when you have that relationship with God and when you have that relationship with confidence in yourself, then you can truly love others as you love yourself instead of hating yourself and trying to dig get the friendships to fill in stuff you don't even, the holes that only God and confidence in yourself should hold.
That is so good. Yeah. I love that. So we had a question from one of our members, and I wanted to ask it so that we didn't forget to do it. And then we'll move on to kid friendships. So she said, the hardest thing for me is finding friends that acknowledge, respect, and love you consistently in the season you're living. My friend and I call this not having debts of love, because we know that in this season of parenting and homeschooling, life is demanding. We understand that we can't talk or see each other as often as we would like to. And that's okay. My question is, what is the right thing to do when a season is hard and some friends are demanding things that you can't give right now?
Again, comes back to what I just said about healthy boundaries and about being confident in yourself. And two friendships came to mind. And I would say I'm best friends with both of these people because I have been through really life-shaking, make you feel like a grown-up times with them. In one instance, a family member committed suicide, not mine, but theirs. So that really bonded us together. And then in another instance, one of them had a breast cancer scare which was also a binding you together, make you feel like a grown up. And those two things happened within months of each other with these friendships. And so I felt like a grown up after that season. But those two friends, I love them. They are some of my closest friends. But one, in the season that I'm in, I am ridiculously busy. Before we got on this call, I was telling Christy I was triple booked this morning. I am triple booked here this afternoon. I am ridiculously busy. And I have told one of those friends who now lives out of town, if you show up in town and ask me at the last minute, hey, I'm in town, can we get together? It ain't going to happen. I am so busy. I have no time to just do something off on the fly. And she does it constantly. God bless her. Almost always. She did it again 2 weekends ago. And I said, I'm so sorry, but I am way too busy this week. And so I just politely told her probably several months ago when she asked me once again to do something on the spur of the moment because she was in town. I just said, I would love to hang out with you, but you have to give me more advance warning, at least a week or so. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't have room in my schedule. Because honestly, some days I might have a shoestring of room, but I'm just glad to have a break in my schedule and don't want to schedule something else on top of it. So if someone's always after you, it's okay to say, I need more time before I can get together with you.
Right.
The other one's the opposite. She'll try to get together with me, but then she rarely shows up. And so she at least gives me a warning several hours ahead of time, but to show up and be consistent in it, that rarely happens. And so I learned not to get my feelings hurt a long time ago because she does it to everyone. But I just don't make plans on purpose anymore. If she wants to make plans with me, I am more than happy to schedule something in advance. But I hold those things lightly and make sure, like, if we're going to meet at a restaurant, it's either that restaurant or close to somewhere I would go by myself and hang out or read a book or do schoolwork or write or something like that. Yeah. So when friends are making demands on your time that you just can't give, I just set clear expectations and say, I love you, but this is a season I'm in. You have to give me more time to show up. I need you to warn me when you're not going to show up. It's okay to kindly set boundaries like that when you're in a really busy season and somebody's demanding more of you than you can give. Or if it's like they need you to run errands and all this stuff for them, there's some friendships that live in the tornado of crisis. And once you step away from them and that tornado keeps on going without you, you realize it's them and not you. And I've had friendships like that, that for whatever reason, there's probably multiple reasons, but their family constantly is in a tornado of crisis and they constantly want you to bail them out of it. Sometimes it's okay to step back from those friendships. And some of them happen naturally because, like with one friend I had, the tornado rolled out to a different location, different churches, different schools. I just simply did not pursue it. I just kind of let it go. We're still friends. I will still meet her on occasion, but I don't get sucked into the tornado when I see stuff on Facebook. I just know that they have another circle of friends involved right now. That does not need to be me. And I don't feel guilty about it. If it's a friend, like I mentioned, that there is an event, like a family member dying all of a sudden, or there is an event like a unexpected illness that happens and it's, oh my gosh, and they need all hands on deck. That is different than a constant crisis over months and years. And you start thinking, I think this is you and not them. That's a completely different situation. I have a situation where I'm showing up in court for a friend tomorrow because of a situation she's in. That is a situation where she needs somebody then. I'm not in a constant tornado with that. There's other people who are supporting her, but I support her as I'm able to, but I'm not involved in it 24/7. So it's learning healthy boundaries and knowing that your family time and your being a mom is the most important job on the planet Earth. Because if you don't raise those kids as Christians and work your best to get them to heaven, that causes a generational ripple. Don't let people feel guilty for you prioritizing your most important job. Those kids are. Right now, I prioritize my kids over everything. That's why I'm triple and quadruple booked today.
it's them.
Maybe I should have said no some. But that's why I'm so busy. It's not because I'm doing things with 500 people. I put my friends in lunch spots when I'm able to. I'm having lunch with a friend this Friday. It has taken us 8 weeks to plan that time in advance because I was so busy. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to have those boundaries when you need them and to say, I just can't. And to make friends with people online in the spaces you do have.
Yep. Yeah. And everybody, I feel like different friendships kind of fulfill different things in my life too. Mm-hmm. I have, it's mostly my online friends that fill that need for somebody who understands writing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I feel like you guys are so good at. And then kind of those, I have my church friends and homeschool friends, and they understand different parts of me and connect with different parts, but nobody's going to be everything to everyone.
Right. And it's not the job to be everything.
No, exactly. Because like you said, like we need to have our identity in God. And mm-hmm. it's even the same with our spouse, right? Our spouse can't be everything. So our identity is in God. We know whose we are. And then out of that, we can mm-hmm. grow friendships. So do you have any suggestions in maybe in your book for simple prayers that we could do for friends or that we could pray over our kids for their friendships? I know that you had at least one chapter in there on friendships.
Five.
That's what I thought. It was like a whole section.
Yeah,
like,
it is. An important thing. I think it's four or five. The ones that I pray the most for my kids, two of them I'll share. If you have the book, it's in chapters 3 and chapter 5. So the one comes from the story. I think it's in Luke. Yeah, it's in Luke 5. Sorry.
Oh. Time to go.
In Luke 5, the story of the friends digging the hole in the roof to get their friend to Jesus. I pray that prayer constantly. Please give my friends who will do whatever it takes to get them to the feet of Jesus and let them be that kind of friend for others. And so I pray that prayer constantly. And sometimes your kids might need nudging. Like I noticed that one of my kids' friends, two of them have disappeared off the face of the earth. And so I said, have you harassed them? I mean, because they're guys, they can say, hey, man, why aren't you going to church? I said, have you harassed them and asked them why you're not going to church? And he was like, well, I never see them. I'm like, you could text them. Yeah. And so I'm just like, I'm not going to demand he encourages his friend to get to church because it's a growing experience. And I know with boys, it's more awkward. But I am saying trying to help them see when their friends are walking away and give them an opportunity to see, hey, you could reach out to this friend and try to bring them back. Maybe they don't come back, but the trying is what matters.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly praying that for my kids, because when I was in college and really just wanted to walk away from God, I was done. I expressed that to my friend Katie, who I told you at the beginning of this, that I met in Pied Piper's tryouts. She was that friend who did whatever it took to get me to Jesus. She gave me books. She made sure I kept showing up at church and things like that. And my parents, I don't even know if they had a clue that I was thinking of walking away from church, because I was a good 8 or 9 hours away from them at college. But God had put those friends in my life who were willing to do whatever it took. And so I pray that for my sons. The other one that is equally important is actually about finding wise mentors. And that I use the verse from Proverbs 27:9, where it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. And the prayer there is, Lord, bring our kids mentors who give godly counsel. Because the next most important thing in my life has either been when I was a teenager or in college, having godly mentors who poured into me. Sometimes those just happened. At other times in college, especially, I had to seek them out. And then even now, when I see a mom with children who are older than mine, but acting in the way I want mine to act when they're that age, I will just say, hey, can you be my mom mentor? Or can we go out for coffee sometime so I can pick your brain? I reach out intentionally. And some of my closest friendships with women have started that way, where I just said, hey, I love how your children are acting. I hope mine act like that one day. Can I take you out for coffee? And those have been some of my closest friendships. And I can see my kids, because we intentionally got them to a church that also values mentoring in the youth group. They have mentors in the youth group. I'm sure some of them I don't even know of, because we have so many volunteers in our youth group, because our youth group's really close to 100 kids or more. It's pretty big. But there's some that I see regularly. And so I'll just tell them, thank you so much for pouring into our kids, and encourage them, because I can't always be there at youth group activities. My kids don't always want me there at youth group activities. But there's adults there that are pouring into them. And so I know when I drop them off, they're going to a safe place where they are loved. And so finding those mentors for yourself and for your children is invaluable.
That's good to know. And that kind of answers that question about kids too. Like, how can we help our kids with their friendships? So praying over them is probably one of the biggest things that we can do. And those little nudges. Any other tips for helping our kids with their friendships?
It can take time. Like when this, the prayers in this book started with me praying over my oldest son for 5 years for friends for that child. He really struggled with friendships. I thought he wouldn't, because we very intentionally stayed in the same school system, and they're still in the same school system, pre-K through high school. That was very intentional on my husband and mine part, because I had moved all the time and hated making new friends. But this kid, he's not gregarious, not going like his brother. He is a very sweet nerd. Nerd's a good name in our family, but he's very nerdy.
And it's a good word.
And very much an engineering brain. And so it took, one, me following God's nudge to switch churches, even though I didn't want to, because a small church we were going to just flat out didn't have friends in his age group that he connected with. And so I had heard God saying for months, we should let go. But it took a COVID to finally get me out of the nest. And we went to this church. And quite honestly, I kind of went kicking and screaming, because I said anywhere but there, because they don't need our help because they're so big. Which a preacher has corrected many times over, because I told him that's what I thought. But my kids immediately saw kids at their schools that were at that church that they didn't realize were Christians, and they connected with really fast. As they got into the older grades, like with band and technology stuff, they found their people in those niche clubs within our school system. But it honestly took 5 years of my oldest son saying, I don't have any friends, and me trying to help him with those connections through different sports for him to find good friends. Sometimes it breaks your heart, and it simply takes time. And I mean, that's honestly where this book came from, because when Brooke asked for someone to write a book on school year prayers, I raised my hand because, one, I'd already been doing it for my son, so I already had some written. But two, I mean, I'm a teacher. I had kids in school at all ages at that time, and I love all homeschooling styles because I was homeschooled, we public school, and so it was just a good fit. But I was saying yes because I'd already been doing the work praying those prayers for my kids for 5 years, I think, before she ever asked for someone to write that book. So
before we end off here, let us know first where we can find you. And the second thing is if you have like any last words.
Not before your death. But just before the end of this episode.
I'm Tara L. Cole in all the places. So TaraLCole in all the places. You can find my books on Amazon. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere that way. So makes it nice and easy. I guess my last words would be is clean and put in your heart Mark 12:30-31. I know it doesn't sound like your typical friendship verses, but the more I study and the more I look into friendship, that is becoming a keystone verse for me and for my kids in becoming good friends. You need that friendship with God, and then that identity in yourself. It helps so much when it comes to making friends if those two things are in place. And that takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, and you can still have friends in the meantime. I've had tons of friends in the meantime. But it's a good path to start following, especially if you're struggling with friendships.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time in your super busy triple book schedule today. Glad you weren't triple booked right now.
Yes.
Really appreciate you. Thank you.
No problem. Glad to be here.